Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, April 3rd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The de facto spokesman of the expelled former Vice President Joyce Mujuru faction says expulsion from ZANU-PF is an indication that she is feared by some top party officials.
This is really a desperate measure to try and silence Amai Mujuru. These are desperate people who don't have people on the ground.
Motorists and public transport drivers have been urged to exercise extreme caution on the roads so as to minimize road traffic accidents and the loss of life during the Easter holiday.
We should not change your attitude. We should not drink and drive. This can contribute to this accident.
And Dynamos maintain their top spot on the Premier Soccer League table after beating Dongo Sawmills.
The de facto spokesman of the expelled former Vice President and ZANU-PF Second Secretary Joyce Mujuru faction has charged that her expulsion yesterday is an acknowledgement of her massive grassroots support that has seen ZANU-PF allegedly failing to restructure the party as a shadow is haunting them. Expelled former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo vowed that no ZANU-PF candidate can beat Mrs. Mujuru in the 2018 election, and this realization has caused the party to adopt a scorched-earth policy. ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoyo told reporters that Mrs. Mujuru was expelled for allegedly plotting to topple the president, orchestrating the so-called Bora Musango campaign to boost the opposition, corruption, and a whole list of other accusations. The party's National Disciplinary Committee, chaired by Vice President Pelegezela Mpogo, is said to have recommended her expulsion. Efforts to get a comment from Kayamoyo were futile, but Gumbo tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the expulsion shows that ZANU-PF is desperate for survival.
This is really a desperate measure to try and silence Amai Mujuru. These are desperate people who don't have people on the ground who have realized that Amai Mujuru has a lot of support and that they cannot carry out their restructuring exercise with the party. So they decided to make sure that she was removed from the party so that if there was any contestation in the future, she would not be considered. But whatever has happened, as far as we are concerned, we will continue to support her cause. We continue to work closely with her. And we think in the end, reason we prefer. The second thing I want to note is that how do you conduct a disciplinary case without the accused being there? That again shows the unprocedural, undemocratic way of doing things. We believe that this is a grand strategy to try and smash the Mujuru faction.
But her critics are saying her silence is now hurting her because there are many allegations that are being leveled against her and she's not responding.
No, she's going to respond. That is all I can say. She has been silent. She has not done anything. That is why people are shocked that someone who is behaved in a very mature manner by not answering accusations and so on.
But Mr. Gumbo, does this mean we are likely to see the formation of another party going forward?
No, we'll cross the bridge when we get there.
That was expelled ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Gweru. For analysis, we reached political commentator Nkululeko Sibanda of Huddersfield University in Britain.
I think it is an indication that those that are attempting to gain control or sustain control of the party, including the First Lady, are certainly very clear that they have to ensure that Mrs. Mduru doesn't have any way back into ZANU-PF or any access to ZANU-PF structures using any particular excuse, such as being a member of any particular ZANU-PF structure. But also that we know that Professor Jonathan Moyo's thinking is such that when you get rid of somebody, you must ensure that they have no chance to come back, because when they come back, they hit you so hard. Just in the same way as Jonathan Moyo himself experienced, where after his own exclusion from the party, he used whatever means he still had to get back into the party and fought to completely exterminate his political opponents. And Mrs. Mduru is an embodiment of such.
Do you see Mrs. Mduru and other like-minded former ZANU-PF officials forming a party?
I think at the low levels of thinking about politics, it seems like a real possibility. But when you look at it deeply, it will not be advisable. I don't think that at this moment, unless something changes drastically, there is what you would call a political space for another political party in Zimbabwe. And I don't think that Ms. Mduru has wrestled enough support from ZANU-PF to get to form a political party.
That was political commentator Nkululeko Sibanda speaking with Studio 7 from London.
Motorists and public transport drivers have been urged to exercise extreme caution on the roads so as to minimize traffic accidents and the loss of life during the Easter holiday. Road traffic deaths normally go up during public holidays due to large volumes of traffic and other factors, including poor road infrastructure and human error. Today, a combi driver in Harare, Jamian Pande, is calling on his colleagues to refrain from speeding and remain cautious on the roads.
We should not drink and drive. Even speed can contribute to this accident.
Any word for public transport operators, owners of the cars that you guys drive?
That is the other problem. They should not question their workers. If they put pressure to their workers, that means they rush. Speed, so they should work as normal.
For ordinary people, what can they do to stay safe?
They can respect the trend of cycles. That means they will be involved in working. People who drink, they also walk in the road during this day. So they should respect the cycle in the road.
That was Harare combi driver Jamian Pande on the line from Harare with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo.
The late Nancy Tinoza's body is expected to be handed over to family members at the Harare International Airport today, ahead of her burial in the city on Sunday. Morgan Tinoza, a brother of the late United States Students Achievers Program graduate, says the family will receive the body at the airport. Nancy Tinoza died in a road traffic accident in America 12 days ago. Friends and relatives raised about $21,000 for ferrying her body to Zimbabwe on a crowdfunding application, yourcaring.com. Morgan Tinoza speaks to Studio 7's Gibbs Dube about Nancy's funeral arrangements.
Once she arrives, we are going to take her to Nyarabu funeral home, where she will lie for the night. Then tomorrow, Saturday, we will take her from Nyarabu funeral home and then to our parents' house, where she also lie for the night as well. Then on Sunday, that's where the burial is. We'll take her from our house. There is a church service. Tomorrow service, that will be held at St. Matthew's Cathedral, Roman Catholic Cathedral in Glenview 8. It will start at 11 to around 1:30. Then from there, the body shall be taken to Glen Forest Memorial Park for burial at 2 p.m.
Do you have any message for Zimbabweans who actually helped you?
We are so grateful for all the efforts that were put together in cash, kind donation, and also in efforts to enable the repatriation of Nancy back to Zimbabwe.
That was Morgan Tinoza speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. About $28,000 was raised for the other former USAP student, the late Moline Tariro Magoronga, who also died in America a couple of days ago. Her family was not reachable for comment on burial arrangements.
Media experts say viability challenges that have forced the closure of the Zimbabwe Mail and the Southern Eye newspapers pose a serious threat to newly licensed commercial radio stations that are yet to take off. The continued closure of industries has meant less and less advertising revenues to newspapers, which has left several publishers on the ledge. And experts are warning the new broadcasters, including Sky's Metro FM and Gogo Goi FM, will not be spared the sustained economic collapse. Reporter Ntungamili Nkomo reached one of the experts, Takura Jangaja.
The commercial radio stations face the primary challenge of finding a market that listens to their news and listens to their programmatic content. They are not necessarily in a very good position because at the moment, the focus on music as opposed to news content is what is affecting the national commercial radio stations. And listenership has gone down primarily because they don't see the direct relevance of these news stations. They don't tell new news, they don't tell news that is beyond the politics of the country. So they have to up their game if they want to survive.
In other words, the future of these radio stations is bound together with the economy.
Their future is very much bound with the state of the economy. The primary challenge is that they need to get a listenership or a readership in their print media that understands that all news in Zimbabwe is never about the politics, or it's not only about the politics. It's also about things that directly affect the people of Zimbabwe. And where they don't publish or broadcast such news, they will reduce their listenership and they will compete amongst themselves for an already limited market.
Media expert Takura Jangaja on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
young Zimbabweans make a living from recycled plastics.
And Dynamos win again as Highlanders dismiss Wange Football Club.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Kenyan officials say a day-long siege at a university east of Nairobi is over, leaving 147 people dead, along with four Islamist Al-Shabaab terrorists. Police and survivors say the gunmen stormed the campus of Garissa University College Thursday and opened fire indiscriminately.
French aviation investigators say the first analysis of the second black box from the German Wings flight that crashed in the French Alps last month reinforces the theory that the co-pilot crashed the plane deliberately, killing all 150 people aboard. Investigators announced Friday that the flight data recorder from the German Wings plane indicates the co-pilot Andres Lubitz having logged his partner out of the cockpit, reset the automatic pilot, and repeatedly increased the speed as the plane made its deadly descent.
Iran's President Hassan Rouhani says a framework agreement reached with world powers will protect Iran's nuclear rights and provide relief from international sanctions. In a televised address to the nation today, Mr. Rouhani said the nuclear agreement is an acceptance of Iran's right to enrich uranium on its own territory, noting the country will be pursuing peaceful goals.
And South Korea's military says North Korea has fired four short-range missiles into the sea off the west coast in what appears to be the latest sign of Pyongyang's anger over ongoing U.S.-South Korean joint military drills. The South Korean Joint Chiefs of Staff said in a statement Friday the missiles were launched from North Pyongyang province and traveled about 140 kilometers before landing in the sea.
Patience pays, some would say. This adage has come true for some 8 Mutare youths who look set for a brighter future thanks to new skills they have learned in the past year on how to use junk, mostly plastic, to earn a living. The Mutare Plastic Recycling Center, which was formed by the youths, has grown from leaps and bounds as they persevere in their newly found trade that has taken them off the streets. Correspondent Lloyd Amoyo has the story from Mutare.
When it was mooted late 2014, the Mutare Plastic Recycling Center had 60 members, but many fell by the wayside due to lack of patience and the desire for instant wealth or even just plain shyness of being seen collecting plastic as a means of surviving. Group spokesperson Katie Mzamiri says it was probably good that those who did not believe in the project dropped out, leaving the 8 to enjoy the sweat of their hard labor. The MPRC, whose owners are between 20 to 30 years of age, got this idea to start a recycling plant from the Environmental Management Agency, EMA, the Mutare City Council, and non-governmental organization, Mercy Corps. The thinking, says Mzamiri, was to ensure the Eastern Border City retains its status of being the cleanest city in the country by getting rid of waste, most of which would then be recycled. He adds, all has not been rosy for them, especially as they had to personally collect plastic waste by themselves and carry it to their premises at the Mutare Board and Paper Mills in the Nyakameti industrial area and store it before processing.
It was formed in 2014 and it was initiated by MESCOP, EMA and City Council. They were together in making this, trying to reduce the waste, which was all over the city. So they tried to call us and make up some workshops, then trained us. So we started in a group of 60. But however, because of the challenges, some of the guys, they were shy. But at the end of October, this is where we started to operate in Mutare Plastic Recycling Center.
Mzamiri says, among other challenges, their main worry is that they are using an old machine in processing and recycling the plastic. This, he says, means it takes long to recycle plastic waste into chips, pellets and groomlets, with the machine breaking down from time to time, disturbing their daily operations.
Our machine is obsolete. If it was a modern machine, things were going to be easier for us so that we might quickly generate income. These are many challenges that we are facing. As we are starting, the financial crisis, they are not stable.
The MPRC spokesperson hopes one day soon the youth will have enough money to buy a new machine as they continue with their efforts to clean up the mountainous city. He adds they are the only one in that business in town concentrating on recycling.
In this term, our market is very stable. They need more supply. If you get the modern machine, we would like to improve so that we might have our own stand, make our families live better. So this is what are things that we are facing that we need to make sure in future we get things right.
Mzamiri is calling on other youths to emulate their project, join them or start their own to create employment for themselves rather than wait for job interviews when companies are fast closing shop.
It is good for them to be part of this project. They are very successful project. They should have to stand for things that make them right, so that if they stand for themselves, things for they believe in themselves. What is important is just to believe in themselves. When they believe in themselves, things will start to wake up.
Takuzwa Togara, a member of the organization, says his dream is getting the latest machine in recycling plastic that will make it possible for them to process finished products that they can send straight onto the market, unlike now when they send their produce to other companies. Processing finished products in Mutare would also reduce transport costs of taking the plastic pellets, chips and groomlets to Harare. EMA Manicaland Regional Manager Kingston Chitotombe, one of the organizations that helped the youth set up the MPRC, says the initiative has been worthwhile, especially as it has created employment for the jobless youth of Mutare. Chitotombe says besides taking the youth off the streets and away from all sorts of mischief, the project helps preserve the environment.
I can give an example of this one. It was well received by the community, particularly the youths, as it is creating employment for them. You know, nowadays, there's a challenge of employment. So it's one way of creating employment.
Other members of the Mutare Plastic Recycling Center include Rutendo Chitendero, Odina Mhlaba, Davidson Jawi, Tulani Marume, Maclid Msademba, and Levi Jekwa. The group says it pockets at least $2,000 after working a good 2 weeks, money they could only dream about a year ago. Their only major drawback is the recurring machine breakdowns and incessant power cuts in the industrial area, problems they hope will be addressed in the near future so they can maximize on their profits. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Reda Moyo.
A top ZANU-PF official says President Robert Mugabe will lead Zimbabwe as long as he wishes, since the opposition is too fragmented to make any strong challenge to the ruling party, which has been in power since independence from British rule in 1980. A Deputy Ndlovu, a member of the powerful Central Committee organ of the party, says there is no reason to remove Mr. Mugabe from power right now, as he enjoys a lot of support within the party and in the country.
The president will lead the party as long as he is elected at a congress. Should people at a congress decide that they still believe he can lead, they will elect him. Should people decide that no, they need fresh blood, they will elect a new president. Because the party allows any member to stand for any position, including the presidential position. So if the president contests and wins, there's no way, even the country's constitution will not buy him, except, of course, in terms of the constitution, where he has done his full term. There we say, okay, the country's constitution no longer allows you to. In fact, it's not allowed him after the next elections in any case.
Don't miss this interview tomorrow here on Studio 7.
Dynamos has continued their winning streak in the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League. Reporter Michael Kariati has more details from the capital, Harare.
The Glamour Boys this afternoon hit 1-0 past Tongo Sawmills at Rufaro Stadium, which is now their new home ground, having used the National Sports Stadium in their opening game against Buffaloes. A goal by Ronald Chikio gave Dynamos maximum points and ensured the popular Harare club remains not only unbeaten, but also at the top of the Premier Soccer League table. Dynamos is so far plundered in 5 goals without conceding any. Coach Desmond Gurai paid tribute to his players for their fine start to the season.
As a team, the guys are working hard, so I hope we'll keep going on like that.
While Dynamos are celebrating, the same cannot be said of their neighbors, Cape United, who yesterday failed to fulfill their game against Aumain after the players boycotted the game over unpaid fine on fees. Although the team traveled to Blawayo, the players refused to go to the match venue until they were paid what they were owed, and the match commissioner had no option but to call off the game after waiting for the 30-minute allowance time. The Premier Soccer League will make a decision on the match, but chances are that Aumain will be awarded the match on a 2-0 verdict. Cape United fans had traveled all the way to Blawayo and were disappointed that the team did not make it to the match venue. One of them is Leslie Negomo.
We traveled all the way from Harare to Bulawayo for the match, but the players didn't pitch up. But I blame the players, not the executive, on this one. They must be dealt with. We are disappointed. Now we are going back to Harare. That's a long journey to Harare.
Peter Mzanenamo also added his voice.
We wasted money from Harare to Bulawayo.
Fans who paid towards the game were not refunded as the match was considered abandoned. There was, however, good news for Saul Chaminuka's ZPC Kariba. They remained unbeaten after overcoming Buffalo's 4-2 at Gwandura Stadium this afternoon. Also on the winning side were Highlanders, who plundered 1-goal past Wange for their second win of the season, following that famous 1-0 victory over Cholocho Pirates last weekend. Today's other results are as follows. Wawa 1, Harare City 1, Chicken Inn 1, Cholocho Pirates 0, Triangle 2, Chapungu 0. The Premier Soccer League has lined up a bumper Easter football program that runs up to Monday when the National Sports Stadium plays host to the big Harare Derby between the green machine of Cape United and the blue and white of Dynamos. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariasi.
Hello, I'm Dr. Goodwill Shana, the Senior Pastor of Word of Life International Ministries. I want to bring Easter greetings to the people of Zimbabwe. As we celebrate Easter, we remember the sacrifices that the Lord gave for all of us. And in that sacrifice, there is hope. Even though the death of Jesus Christ looked like a calamity, after his death, there was resurrection. And it is in that resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ that we look to, that will raise you, raise your family, and raise this country to a better land. Be blessed, be careful on the road, take time to go to church, take time to gather your family, and let's put our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not in necessarily in any person or in any church or in any system, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be blessed, and God's resurrection power work for you at this hour, in Jesus' name.
My name is Raphael Tombeni, the Minister of Religion and Humanitarian. I just want to wish a message of hope at this Easter. Jesus died for all of us, the rich and the poor, and I wish the poor would have hope at this Easter. And with the help that people are giving, I wish you all a happy Easter, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. Thank you. I'm in Dallas, Texas, United States of America.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will be talking with listeners about Easter holidays.
To get in touch, please call 202-465-0318 so that we can call you back from our studios.
Now to recap today's top stories.
The de facto spokesman of the expelled former Vice President Joyce Mujuru faction says her expulsion from ZANU-PF is an indication that she is feared by some top party officials.
Motorists and public transport drivers have been urged to exercise extreme caution on the roads so as to minimize road traffic accidents and the loss of life during the Easter holiday.
And Dynamos maintain their top spot on the Premier Soccer League table after beating Dongo Sawmills.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
Join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com. And my name is Chris Gande, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.